This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome back to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You, a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. I'm Jessica Pfeiffer, and as always, I'm joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus. Hey, Dr. Ken.
Hi, Jessica.
We have an interesting topic today. It's going to be political in nature.
Where did everyone go? Yeah.
It's going to be politics. We're going to talk about politics, and partly because, well, we just came through a pretty political season this fall in the U.S. We had a presidential election, well, election season for a lot of different people, but also a president. And we're about to do an inauguration in just a few weeks.
Yeah.
And so topics like politics are not very fun to address sometimes, especially with family, but I think it's an important thing that we have this conversation about how to do it well with our kids.
Watching teenagers, how they're watching you and how they talk about it is not the same thing as with your children, as we say on this program all the time. But I think it's particularly important now because of the volatility, like not just what's being said, but how it's being said. And I think it makes it harder than ever for a parent to make a statement or to try to, make their point without being cast into, oh, you're one of those. And and you really want to be careful with that, I think.
Well, I know that even during the political season of the fall, there were a lot of people, either articles I read, people I talked to personally, where they were concerned about holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving coming up because they had family members that thought differently than they did, voted differently than they did, and they didn't want to be with them. And I thought, that is the saddest thing I've ever heard. How can we be so caught up in politics that we lose sight of the fact that we're a family and that we're here to be together for the holidays or to celebrate together, to do life together? It's become such a divisive place for people.
Well, it's funny because, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and there was a lot of that kind of visceral disagreement, but they were about specific issues, war in Vietnam, racial issues, these things that you could kind of outline, this is a policy you think is okay, and I think you're nuts for thinking that. Now it's gotten, I think, much more vague. I don't know that the people that don't want to talk to their own family could necessarily outline, it's because he believes this and this and this. It's not that simple. It's just kind of too often a gut. I just think you're just a hyper conservative, or you're just a liberal. And what does that even mean? And therefore, how can we even talk through it? And I think that's what our teenagers are watching, and among their peers, they're seeing, more and more of this kind of heightened stuff. And I think teenagers, the many that I've seen, are seeing the heightened tension and are actually kind of becoming cynical about the whole thing because of that. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, what do you see?
I think my kids, we've talked about it a little bit, that they just feel like, well, what are we going to be able to do about it? Everybody's so aligned on their opposite, polar opposite ends of the spectrum of what they believe. And no one's going to come to the middle and find any sort of agreement because they're so polarized. It just doesn't, people don't have conversations about things they disagree about, and they don't do it well. And I think that's the thing I want to hear from you is how do we do this with our own families and teach this in our own families over the dinner table or in a casual conversation? How do we have a disagree an argument? Let me start over.
Yeah. No, I like that. Yeah, like what's the word?
Right. How do we have a conversation about things we disagree about, but do it in a way that's kind and respectful to each other?
Yeah, so I think that that's a good example or a good point about what are we going to have? Is it a disagreement or an argument or whatever? And I really think one of the more important things to keep in mind is what is it that has inflamed this rhetoric? And it's social media. Social media has changed the way that we talk up, like you said, conversation. There's no such thing as conversation on social media. It's a soapbox that people one at a time stand up and yell something and then get down at somebody else. And you don't even know who's listening to what you're saying. It's just post and state and make statements and all that. And as you know, I'm not on social media, but that's on purpose. So I think it's one of the important things for parents to think about. And again, as always, and I can't emphasize this enough, I want parents to be effective. The goal here is to be effective in influencing your teenagers, not to feel like your sort of mouth is taped shut. So to be effective, I think you have to think about you cannot plan to just add your little voice to this giant riot sounding voice that's on the internet. That's the least effective thing you can do. My sainted father had a bad habit of listening to right wing media, and this was years ago, and it created this really bad habit of if a particular topic came up, if I hit the tripwire of something, he was ready with some logical argument that some host had told him how to think about it. And don't get me wrong, I mean, he was thinking for himself, but it was the way he was doing it. He just didn't have any, it wasn't a conversation. It was just this prepared outline that he was waiting for someone to say, you know, and it was kind of frustrating, even as an adult, because I was not quite as conservative as my parents, as many people are. Although we've talked about this, I think my kids are a little more conservative than I am. Are yours?
I think so. Sometimes I feel like they're more conservative than I am. I tend to lean more moderate. I would say probably right smack dab in the middle,
Yeah,
most
me
times.
too. Although I have a feeling, to be honest, you and I are actually conservatives in general, but I don't like the heartlessness of a kind of, you know, political crushing. Anyway, what we're talking about, those parents think about how you're doing this conversation first, not what you want to say, but how you say it.
Right. And I think there are a lot of parents that it's really easy to get stuck in that kind of place where we have been with our kids, where it's that teaching training all over
Yes.
again. You know, let me tell you why you should believe this because
Yes.
I pay
Isn't
taxes
that what
and
I'm
this is
supposed to
why,
do?
right?
I'm a parent. I'm supposed to teach them.
And I think too, it's really hard as a parent, you know, to look at your kids and hear their opinions about things and see them as some sort of respectable peer. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? But I kind of feel like I think look at them and I think, well, you don't pay taxes and you can't even vote. Why do you have an opinion on this?
Wow. You sound like me. Yeah, no, and
That's what I'm
you
thinking in
can't
my
say,
mind,
I
but I
know, and
can't
you
say
can't say that's
that.
exactly right.
I want to be
Ironically,
respectful.
I think it's important to keep that in mind because we've talked about this before. In a weird way, there's this, I deal with a lot of parents that I think are actually, in a way, giving their kids too much credit. Like, well, that's, you know, there's nothing wrong, I think, with occasionally saying, well, you know, of course, since you never paid a tax dollar in your life, you know, this may change as you get older. I don't have a problem with reminding teenagers of that. Not because you need to knock them down a notch, but you really want to be careful about a kind of entitlement that I think is often there that that, we really think good parenting is to come back. And I've rethought my whole political landscape because of what you said as a 15-year-old. I think that's a little silly. So, there's a balance there. But yeah, you can't spend your time going, really? Well, you don't know anything. That's no good. Again, the point is, how do you influence them? And I think step number one is you listen. And I mean, you just white knuckle it, take a Xanax, and listen to what they're telling you. And part of this is getting easier. For the longest time, the kind of political landscape was dominated by what I would call individualism. Like the entire political focus was every individual, not a group, each individual's right to declare and to be who they say they want to be. And everything was about, don't oppress anyone. That was probably harder for parents. We have a lot of conservative Christian parents listening. It was probably hardest when you hear that from your kid, when they're talking about each individual needs to be themselves. And you're like, but God says, I get that. I have a feeling that's rolling back more. But it gives us instead, and listen to this, an opportunity to be careful that if you're hearing what you think is the best conservative, fundamental, we need to America first, whatever you think is great, I think you even that need to be thinking about, is that all I want to say is good for you? There you go. You really want to listen, ask questions, and think about how they are thinking about this and how we are talking about this, because that's more effective in helping a teenager to think through where they are in all of this. Whether you hate what they're saying, or even if you love what they're saying, you want to think about how we have this conversation. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think it's also important too as a parent because sometimes it's easier with maturity to see both sides of the issue
Right,
a little better,
right.
to play a little bit of the devil's advocate where you say, what do you think the other side is saying? How do you think that they're
Yes.
feeling or coming at this same argument? My daughter is a senior and she had a government class this last fall and she had to do, both sides of an argument, sort of a paper.
Yeah.
And I think that's good because I think you realize, oh, there are reasons why people believe this, and there are reasons why people they're not
Right.
idiots. They're really not
Right,
idiots on either
and
side. They've
that's
had
important.
different
Right.
experiences in life, or different things that are valuable and important to them. So it's good to come at it too with your kids and explain, it's not just even if we agree on this, it's not just our side. Let's talk about what someone else might think coming into the situation.
I think that last thing you said is critically important, that you want to watch how you talk about this, and be careful with the tone or the implication that if you don't agree with me, you're an idiot. People that don't see it this way are idiots. That's really what's happening more now than I remember, even back in the 70s, of this general, you can't be a sane person if you think this thing. And you really want to be careful with that, because I think it does not. And again, the goal is, I don't think it equips your young adults as well as they need to be equipped for the world. So, and if nothing else, if you hate what they're saying, nothing makes it harder for your teenager to come back around and agree with you than for you to think you've continually won these slam dunk arguments. It makes it impossible for them to come back later and say, I agree with you, because it will feel like I've now given in to your thinking and I no longer have my thinking. And you don't want to put a teenager in that spot. You really want to be kind about it. And by the way, and this should be easier for our Christian listeners, because as we all know, the church is not a political group. Where the church has always been really hard for governments to deal with. When she does the right thing, they're always going against certain policies. You can't predict what those Christians are going to do. That's what we've been killed for in the past. So the idea of, we as Christians have to really get our politics down. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you talking about? Politics does not decide what is right and wrong. Even important issues like abortion or, same-sex marriage, things that we as Christians have strong feelings about or beliefs about. Politics doesn't decide what's right and wrong. It decides what we tax, what we don't tax, what we allow, make illegal. That is it. It's all about power. And so for Christians, believe it or not, it should be easier for us to at least talk in a calm manner that says, you know, I'm sure you're not the only one. I know there's a lot of people that agree with you on that. As you know, that's not how I see it. You know, that should be easier for us than it is. We get so worked up over stuff because we think that a political stance is super important. And I don't think so.
I think you're right. I feel like as a parent, I might need to take a step back on some of the conversations we have in the next few weeks as we head into more politics. And there's, we're saying this as politics, as, voting and, as political parties, but there are so many issues that are out there in the world right now. Every time I open, well, I would say, I was going to say a newspaper, but that's not accurate. Every time I open my phone,
What is that?
every time I open my phone and I see news articles, I am shocked at what is happening in our world every day. And the amount of changes that are happening overnight in our world. And
That's
I
right.
have opinions on a lot of them. And so I think that it's hard as a parent to not just spew your ideas and your thoughts and but to be a little slower about that and maybe ask questions of your kids and what are their thoughts and have you ever read an article about this? Because you know what, truthfully, a lot of their information is coming from social media and influencers and not from actual news.
That's right.
So I've also been trying to encourage my kids, when you read something from social media, you need to investigate that with back up with a couple news articles from different sources. What is really going on? It's probably the truth is somewhere in the middle,
See,
right?
that's a good message. And if you have a kid that when you hear that, you think, oh, they'll be defensive if I say you need to read, then go to the book on the advice giving where it talks about you take that same thing and you go, you know what I'm learning? I feel like I need to look at the sources. This may not be you. Maybe you just like half a YouTube video. But for me, you know, like own it and describe it as how you do it. And you can still say the very same thing. That's you can take down the defensiveness by talking about how you do it, which is respectful. It's like as a fellow adult. And again, you don't have to throw in the fellow adult who actually pays taxes and knows something.
See, this is why you're the expert, Dr. Ken.
Oh my gosh.
I need a reminder too of how to even approach, like, this is how you talk about it with your kids, as you say, this is what I do. And you can do what you want, but this is how I handle it because there's a lot of mistruth, mishandled truth, mishandled information out there, and people are taking it as truth. That's just because it's on the internet somewhere, and that's not necessarily the
That's
case.
exactly right.
So, thank you, Dr. Ken. This has been a good conversation, and I know that parents will get to maybe approach the subject at dinner time or in the car on the way somewhere. This will be something that comes up. So, thanks, Dr. Ken. Thank you for listening today. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com. If you enjoy this podcast, would you mind leaving us a review? This is how others find our podcast.
This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.